Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q3 FY25 earnings conference call of Pinnacle Industries hosted by PhillipCapital India Private Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vikram Suryavanshi from PhillipCapital India Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Muskan. Good morning and very warm welcome to everyone. Thank you for being on the call of Pinnacle Industries Limited. We are happy to have with us the management of Pinnacle Industries here today for question and answer session with the investment community. The management is represented by Mr. Aditya Rao, Vice Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Srikanth Bhakat, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Manoj, Vice President, Corporate Planning, and K.M. Sunil, Vice President, Investor and Media Relations. Before we start with the question and answer session, we'll have opening comments from the management. Now, I hand over the call to Mr. Aditya for opening comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Vikramji. Warm welcome to everyone joining us today for Pinnacle Industries' third quarter investor conference call for the financial year ending March 2025. I'm grateful for the opportunity to speak with you on our performance and on our growth plans. Let's first speak on the agenda overview. As always, we will begin with our Q3 performance. We will cover revenue, growth, profit before tax, working capital, and our strategic growth initiatives. Post this, Mr. Srikanth Bhakat, our CFO, will provide a detailed analysis of our financial results. After his presentation, we will open the call to a Q&A from all our participants. Let's start with an executive summary of our Q3 performance. Q3 2025 saw us growing our revenue, PBT, and cash flow by double digits. Our net sales grew by 12.75% to 839.7 crores. Our PBT grew by 20.29% to 39.78 crores, and our cash PAT grew by 11.18% to INR 47.72 crores. Let's talk about revenue growth. This trend in revenue and profit growth will continue with our growth vectors now starting to scale. Currently, our PB India business, our U.S. metal buildings business, process equipment, and our body-in-white vertical are projected to grow well over the next few quarters, and this will have the impact of bringing our revenue up. I hope I'm audible. There's some disturbance on the line. We'll continue. Please let me know if any of you find it hard to hear me. Working capital, we are currently at 79 days in terms of revenue days. Our stated goal is to reach 60 days in the medium term and 72 in the short term, and we're working on to realize these goals. In conclusion, this completes my remarks on our Q3 performance. I would like to hand the call over to our CFO for his detailed analysis. Thank you.
Thanks, Aditya. Welcome to the shareholders and investors for the third quarter FY26 earnings call. Key metrics: the total income has grown from 846.45 crores from 750.88 crores, up by 95.57 crores. In terms of percentage, it is 12.73. PBT has increased to 39.78 crores, up by 20.29%. We are at now 4.74%, up from 4.44%. It's up by 30 basis points. And PAT has increased to 30.46 crores, now to 3.63%, up by 22 basis points. Revenue has grown in diversified engineering business as well as the custom design building solutions, and as a result, our blended revenue has grown by 12%. With our continued focus to improve margins and cut down the sales with the lower margins, you see the increase in the profitability of each of the businesses as well. The diversified engineering revenue for Q3 FY25 is at 415.6 crores compared to 380.6 crores, up by 13%, and the custom design building solutions increased from 387.89 441.29, up by 9%. We are happy to inform that our Rivalry plant is now functional and started contributing to our revenue Q3 FY25. And as we grow, this will further get scaled up. We expect that it reaches peak capacity Q1 FY26. TB India has increased the order book. Now it is at 800 plus crores. And PB US, it is at USD 50 million plus. And we are confident that revenue will increase and in the coming quarters. The other income includes deposits, income, income from mutual funds, rope tap incentives, exchange fluctuation. In terms of employee benefits, in Q3 FY25, it is at 89.95 crores compared to 71.63 crores. The increase is on account of increments, bonus, and the increase in the headcount and the recruitment at our Rivalry plant. In terms of finance cost, consolidated Q3 FY25, we are at 31.26 crores compared to 31.47 crores. There is a decrease by 21 lakhs. This is on account of better working capital management compensated by increase due to our long-term borrowing. Total borrowings for the company is now at 1195 crores when compared to 1092 crores in March. Interest to net sales for Q3 FY25 is at 3.72% versus 4.23% Q3 FY24. So there is a decrease in terms of the overall interest to net sales as a percentage, and we now stand at 3.72%. Depreciation and amortization has slightly reduced due to the decrease in the discontinued operations, whatever the businesses that we have sold, and slightly increase in the account of US, account of the new plant and machinery. Tax has increased from 23.43 from 23.28%, predominantly due to change in the mix of our supplies at US subsidiary. Please note, federal tax is at 21% and state tax varies from 5.7 to 25.6%. We expect the consolidated rate to be between 25 to 26%. Overall analysis, revenue has increased on all our business streams and our geographies in India as well as the US. Due to increased revenue, there is a corresponding increase in PBT and PBT margins. We continue to maintain this. With this, I hand over the call to the moderator for questions and answer sessions in the investor community.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ishmohit Arora from Sosu Rituals. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So my first question is that in spite of a new plant commercializing, when do we expect to see some bit of operating leverage coming into play, because our operating margins are still at 10%?
So do you mean EBITDA?
Operating leverage, basically. When do you think basically your EBITDA margins will start increasing as your new plant is commercialized?
Right. So you would what I would guide towards is a long-term sustained trend in the improvement of not just our EBITDA, but the contribution margin of the variable, yes, EBITDA margin, PBT, and PAT margins. So that is the trend we've been on, and that will continue. We expect as our revenue scales and all the revenues added at an operating margin, which is higher than our average, that keeps falling down to EBITDA. So you will see our margins increase consistently, and that's the trend that we've been on for the past few quarters. So methodically, it will continue to increase.
Right. And so just a second question is that I think we saw an announcement that you're entering solar panel manufacturing. So what is the rationale behind it? Because from upfront, it seems to be a very commoditized industry, and we were actually exiting all these low margin businesses, and now we've entered another one.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's important to provide a narrative on this. So as you have rightfully said, we have picked six verticals for this scale within Pernod. These are hydraulics, engineered building business in India and in the US, body and white components business, cubes vertical, and also our engineering services vertical. Last one is process equipment. So these together will drive Pernod's growth in the next few quarters and the next few years, and we believe there's enough gunpowder, large addressable markets, low market share. So our ability to grow revenue should be quite good, and consistent revenue, profit growth, and margin expansion with working capital efficiency being under control is the trend. That's the plan that we have. Now, however, that leaves aside a lot of these, what we call the legacy revenue streams, legacy businesses. It includes the solar business, our water treatment chemicals business, our water EPC business, and several others. What we decided to do is, one thing to do would be to just stop those revenues, and we, in effect, done that. But I think there's also a better way for us, for the company to realize some value. So this is our attempt to realize value out of our IP, out of our pre-qualifications, out of our presence and in the sectors, and even you know, the human resources and human capital we have in these businesses. So we incorporated a JV. We have tied up, partnered with Zetwerk for this. Zetwerk has majority, and what we are doing is transferring our know-how, our assets, our customers, and our order backlogs into that business vertical, and that business will be done separately. And over time, that decision can be taken on, you know, how we would want to do it. But effectively, this is a mechanism for us to realize value out of our capabilities and pre-qualification and assets that we have, rather than just have value destruction where we just stop those revenue streams. Because the fundamental nature here is to maximize value for Pernod. So without any substantial investments, with only a transfer of our existing capabilities and assets, if we can realize better value out of this, and it would be at a place where we have minority shareholding, then it makes sense for us to do this. So that's the rationale behind this. You mentioned solar modules as a commoditized business. I would, in my opinion, it's a scale business, but we are now a minority investor in a joint venture, one which will be guided by Zetwerk as a majority partner. We are a major investor, and our hope is that as that company scales, Pernod realizes value. And we hope to replicate this model for other businesses which are not being prioritized. We don't want to grow them in Pernod, but we do want to realize some value. That's the rationale behind this.
And so what will be the capital invested from our side into this business?
18 crores is the capital investment.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Karthi from Sujish Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good morning, Aditya. A couple of questions. One is, in your US business, how is your supply chain structured, given the changes being proposed, especially with reference to Mexico, Canada, and some of these other countries?
Sorry, I apologize. Your voice is a little muffled. Could you repeat that question?
Is it any better now? Hello, is it any better now?
Not really audible.
I'm sorry. Is it any better now?
Yes, it's much better. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm so sorry. So I wanted to ask you, how is your supply chain in the USA organized? Do you see an opportunity to increase sourcing from India because of the changes proposed in terms of duties? And based on whatever data you have today, what would be the advantage that may accrue to you from this proposed change?
So our supply chains typically do not, and for the vast majority of it is already localized. So for our India revenue streams, most of the procurement is in India. For our Europe revenue streams, most of it is Europe. And for the US, almost entirely it is in the US. We are not looking at the supply chain arbitrage. I think the way the world is going, I think duties, tariffs, all of that will remain the dominant standard by which the supply chain efficiencies which were there earlier will not be there in the longer term. I think we're much better served localizing supply chains wherever possible. So in that trend, I think in India, for most of our procurement is in India. Some special grades, special kinds of components we do have coming in from China, and that will continue. But where possible, from a, I would say our target would be more than 70-80% for it to be local. In the US, it's a much higher number. We only buy, for our US revenue streams, the vast majority of it is US based.
So you're referring to both the engineered buildings as well as the tubes, right?
I'm sorry, could you say that again?
I was saying you are referring to both the engineered buildings as well as the tubes businesses, right? In USA. I'm specifically referring to your business.
I mean, I'm talking about the entire revenue stream. So the US is, let's say it's about $100 million plus revenue P&L for us. The vast majority of that supply chain will be US based. In India, for example, let's say we are at $300 million, right? Or let's say about 2,500 crores. The vast majority of that will be India sourced.
The other question, and then I'll join back in the queue, would be in terms of, I'm sorry, I lost track of what I was saying. So let me get back in queue and not waste time. Thank you.
Okay. Well, please do join back when you have your question. You'll be glad to
answer. Yeah, sure. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Aniket from AB and Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible, sir?
Yes,
please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question and congratulations on a good set of numbers and the progress you've made over the last few quarters on your strategy. My first question is, sir, can you tell us in this quarter, what is the percent of revenue that is from what we might call as deprioritized or sort of old business that that you sort of want to wind down?
I understand. I request our CFO to answer the question. We do have that exact number.
Yeah, we have 65% from our prioritized business, and from the non-prioritized business, it is 35%. And as the time goes up, this will continue to decrease the non-prioritized businesses.
Got it, sir. And our thinking would be to take it to zero in the next, 2 years. Is that a fair timeline, or would it be faster or slower?
For next 5 years, yes, it would drop to zero, one way or another.
But in 2 years, sir, do you think it goes down to like 10%, or just from, just approximately? What's your directional sense?
We do have an internal projection, but you should expect substantial declines year on year on this. So I can't give you a number for what it will be at 2 years, but it will not be at 35. It would be substantially lower than that.
Understood, sir. Got it. And secondly, sir, can you quantify how much did Rivalry contribute this quarter?
So this quarter it was not very high at all. To my knowledge, the revenue out of Rivalry would have been somewhere between 20 to 25 crores, but we are now scaling up that business. I think you will see Rivalry hit high capacity utilization in between Q4 and Q1, that is the current quarter and the next quarter. But irrespective of that, PED is scaling. We also have capacity increases in our existing other two plants as well. So I think overall, what's going to happen is you will see strong, high growth in PED, and that's a combination of better capacity utilization at all of our plants. And Rivalry will come into its own in the next few weeks, a couple of months.
Got it, sir. And my last question, sir, if I may. We had talked about, finance cost as a percent of revenue around 3.5%, 3.75% this year. Now, with the rate cycle changing and so on, where do you think this goes in the next couple of years?
You should target in terms of the overall finance cost comprises the interest on borrowings, which are from the working capital as well as from the term loan. You can hold this accountable, as I have said in my earlier calls as well, at 3% on the borrowings for the working capital and 1% for the term loan. So it will be range bound between 3.8 to 4%.
Got it, sir. Perfect. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Shah from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yes, hi. So firstly, do you see any major impact on these U.S. tariffs and duties that they have been imposing on a business? Howsoever.
No, sir. We don't see an impact at all. As I mentioned, the vast majority of our supply chains are localized. So we do not ship a lot of material. Let's talk about PGI's revenue in the U.S., which would be the most relevant because the tariffs are being imposed potentially by the U.S. on other countries, including India, reciprocal tariffs. The $100 million plus revenue that we have there, and one that is growing quickly as well, the order backlog also doing quite well now. Very, very little, maybe less than $10 million is supplied from India. So we do not anticipate any shock either to revenue or to our margins because of these supplies and tariffs.
Okay. And secondly, can you guide us in terms of your outlook for the next quarter and the next year in terms of revenue and EBITDA margins?
We don't provide guidance, sir, but I think we can commit that we will, quarter on quarter, you're going to see revenue growth and profit growth. I think that's a trend that's been there for 4 years, but I think in the last two, three quarters, we had maybe one quarter where we did not have growth because we decommissioned our legacy revenue a lot quicker. I think we're being a lot more smart about it. I think it's important for us to have revenue growth, profit growth, margin growth, and also ensure that the deprioritized views are revenue streams are removed. So we worked out a model to do that. So I think we're quite confident in projecting revenue growth quarter on quarter and profit growth. So that's what I have to give you. And we have aggressive long-term plans. We certainly don't want to be in a place where revenue stagnates at any period of time. But over the next 4 or 5 years, we expect to have sustained high growth in all of these metrics.
And what will be driving, which verticals are you like relying on heavily, which will drive this growth for you?
So as I mentioned, our growth vectors are engineering, building line, body in white, process equipment, engineering services, our hydraulics business. So in all of those businesses, our market share is small. Let me explain why that's a good thing in this scenario. Because if we were the largest player, if we had market share of, say, 15% or 20%, it becomes difficult to scale revenue in that business at any rate higher than the market growth rate. However, in pre-engineered buildings in India, we are number 4. And in the U.S., we are probably number 10. In hydraulics, we are number 6 in India. Globally, we probably are nowhere near the larger players. The same argument goes for process equipment. The same argument goes for engineering services. The same argument goes for body mat. The people we are competing against are all people with sometimes tens of thousands of crores of revenue in the case of BIW. So the market is never going to prevent us from growing. Our job is simple. Expand our market share from where it is right now, which is in some cases as low as 1.5%, 2%, but in some cases it's up to 5%, 6%. Get that up to maybe not even 10%, 7%, 8%, and just build up the asset base to do that, and that will give us revenue growth, profit growth, and we can do it capital efficiently, quite efficiently. So our current gross revenue base of about 4,000 crores can be scaled, quite frankly, indefinitely. It's not... The market may do well or not do well, but our growth trajectory will continue to be there because of this dynamic. Low market share, good market presence, however, from a capability standpoint, from a customer standpoint. Combine that with an asset acquisition strategy and, of course, generating profits, capital efficiency, and you will have an automatic growth plan. So that's our base business plan, and we've been on that plan for the last, many years, and it seems to be working.
Okay, sir. Thank you for that detailed explanation. I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Soni from Family Office. Please go ahead.
Sir, with this, regarding the solar business, so you are forming a joint venture. So is it like margin accretive for us, better than what we were doing earlier? I'm just trying to understand. And you said you might reduce it to 10% overall the low margin business. So do we want to sell off to our joint partners? What's your thought process about other businesses?
Your voice was pretty muffled, but let me repeat your question and you can confirm if I've captured it. I'm audible to you. So you had asked about the solar business. How does that affect our margins right now? With the I assume you're talking about the JV because there is...
Correct.
...talking anymore. Yeah, I can answer that question. Yeah. So the joint venture is set up to take, to do solar modules, solar module mounting systems, components and others, right? So this tends to be, let's say a 5%, 6% PBT business, PAT business, globally. Not very dissimilar from our net margins, but obviously we don't want to stay at 5-6%. So because we have a minority shareholding, this doesn't consolidate line by line with our P&L and balance sheet. What effectively happens is after we report all of our numbers, there will be a line called minority interest and the power share of the profit will be added to that. So it will expand our margins, but obviously, I mean, I don't want to give you the picture that it is going to be tremendously valuable, but effectively think of it as a way to monetize our capabilities. It's not going to add to revenue. It's not going to really add to our operating margins, but we do expect substantial profitability to come from it, but it doesn't impact our margins. It comes in as a minority interest flow.
Other thing is whether you are going into solar cell or only modules. I am trying to understand that also a bit because cell is a different ballgame altogether compared to module.
So I think that's a call that we will take or Zagar's network and us will have to take. But as of right now, there are no declared plans for the cell business. I think it's a much higher capital investment paradigm and right now we don't have plans for that.
And you indicated your other low margin business you want to hive off like similar to this. So anything in progress for other low margin business like water treatment, chemicals or whatever right now in works or you might do something in next 2-3 quarters?
We will continue to work on the paradigm and it would be premature to talk about it right now, but what I can share is it's the model we want to use for all the other deprioritized businesses, realize value from our assets. And when we complete these engagements with other partners who will take the responsibility of growing these businesses from us, we will share that with you.
The last question, CapEx plan for next year and I think land sale, do you want to consider that in next 2-3 quarters something?
So our CapEx for next year, we have not yet frozen. Our budgeting is done, yes, but we do have to look at some long gestation projects which come in, which take about a year to implement. So we don't have a CapEx budget for last year for you, but this year it was about 100. I can tell you the number this year. And the profit is substantially higher than that, even before the fourth quarter is closed. So we're improving our debt equity.
And land sale, and that's another question I asked.
Land sale, we currently have nothing to share, but again, similar to realizing value, we have a large land asset bank and we will look to monetize it as over time. But right now, we have nothing to share.
So thanks and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Keshav from Ruxin Investors. Please go ahead.
Hi. Sir, in the prefab space, if I look at our recently listed Indian peer, they have hardly any charges coming out of bank guarantees. They have hardly any debt on their books, very high terms on total capital employed. They have a sizable contribution from customer advances. I couldn't find any data on retention money, but overall terms inclusive of everything is pretty high. So can you help understand what could be the way forward for us? Can we match those metrics? How will that happen? Why isn't that not the case even at the scale we're at? Because we've grown pretty fast to a number 3-4 position.
I'm sorry, I didn't. The voice again was muffled. I apologize. Maybe there's something wrong with the connection line. But could you repeat your question, sir? And if possible, if you could do it a little more slowly so we can understand. My apologies.
Okay. Is it audible now?
Not really, sir, but go ahead.
In the prefab space, if I compare our business to the recently listed Indian peer, I see that they don't have a lot of any charges out of bank guarantees. They don't have any debt on the books. Their asset turns are pretty high and the overall capital employed. So I was just trying to understand what's the way forward for us. If we can match those kinds of metrics, how will that happen? Because we've pretty close to the scale and we've grown pretty fast, but we are incurring a lot of these charges that are making our PEBS business not as capital efficient.
Understand. So, good question. So, yes, the other listed players, specifically, for example, I think Interact also has listed, they tend to have balance sheet which don't have a lot of debt, which haven't had a lot of debt. And the way we approach it is what is our working capital, right? And working capital can either be financed through debt or through equity. So if you look at Interact's working capital, they tend to have about 45 days. And for us, we are closer to 60 days. The treatment of bank guarantees and other financial instruments such as LCs may be different. It may show up not as debt. So that's something that we do have to be conscious of. It may be netted off before that for other companies. And I wouldn't want to assume that that is what they're doing. But we do know that this is an industry which calls for a certain amount of inventory to be held and a certain amount of accounts receivable. And of course, there are current liabilities which offset that to an extent, including advances. So you are right in that we have historically not been an efficient capital deployer in the prefab pre-engineered building space. Our working capital days were at 110, 120 also 3-4 years ago. But over the last 3 years, we brought that down to 60 days, and we have every intention of reaching where our competitors are in terms of the working capital number of days. Now, as to how that working capital is financed, is that done through equity? Is that done through through debt, through LCs and non-cash, and it's primarily non-cash. That's the statement of choice. I think what's important is we bring in enough scale so that at the PBT level we match up. But whether we are using LCs or we are using equity to give back to finance raw material, to finance other current assets, may not be a high order term in the equation as for me. So I think we're hard at work to improve our operating margins. We're hard at work reducing our working capital days. The combination of these two things should bring our net margins to my knowledge, I think some of our competitors are at 7 or 8%, and we are at 4.5 to 5%. That is So we will look to improve that. So we have about 100, 200, 250 basis point improvement to be made, and we know where that's going to come from, and we will go ahead and get those numbers. Now, of course, this refers to the prefab pre-engineered space in India. Our margins in the US are obviously higher than what our competitors in India have right now. So that there may not be a margin issue there in the US. Or it actually should improve. The capital days in the US is only 15 days, which is much better than any of our competitors here in India.
Sure, sir. So this improvement to 7%, what's the timeline we are envisaging for this to happen?
So as I mentioned, if you talk specifically of the PEB space, it shouldn't take that long. If you're looking at the company as a whole blend also, I think our stated goal is to get to higher than 7%. We have 10% targeted. We will not promise you a timeline in which we are doing it, but you will just look at what we have done rather in the last 2-3 years. You would have seen our margins come up from 1%, 2%, 3%, all the way up to 4 or 5. And that trend will continue. So the matter of the next 1, 2, 3 years, you will see us meeting, call it benchmark market rates in all of our businesses from a net profit percentage margin point of view. And that's something that we have planned for.
What's the reason for not being able to scale the tubes business in general? Because we've been flat in 5 years from 2019 to 2024. And how should it fare going forward?
So tubes, we are currently at a place where addition of capacity, specifically in a large diameter tubing project, that is what is going to add capacity, that's what's going to add revenue, and that's potentially what's going to add margins. It's a little bit of an outlier in terms of our overall business profile. If you see all the other businesses we spoke of, whether it's pre-engineered buildings, body and why, hydraulics, engineering services, there's a good amount of either engineering or product development in the value stream chain. What those things tend to do is they tend to protect your margins. Now, tubes is perhaps much more of a commodity business, right? So you need scale in order to be able to hit the higher numbers. And the largest tube company I can think of, they tend to have hyperscale, EBITDA margins less than 10%, but they have really good capital efficiency. So they're doing a fantastic job growing their business in a capital efficient manner, but margin is not a priority for them. So our rollout for tubes would have to be based on the high margin niche market opportunities, such as large diameter tubing, such as friction tubing. So it will take time to grow tubes. And I think as a company, we are going to be patient about how we are going to scale those businesses up. But the way forward is on large diameter tubing. And unfortunately, that's it takes time to get that CapEx done. So which is why I'm not using that as a primary growth vector in the near term. Medium term, we will be able to do what's needed in that business. But right now, I'm not guiding you to growth in our tools business.
Okay, thanks for the clarity, sir. And thirdly, just wanted to understand what the scale of our body and white business is currently.
Could you say that again, sir?
I wanted to know the scale of the body and white business currently.
Body and white. So body and white business is currently comprised of orders from Stellantis, Hyundai, Kia. We just added Maruti and a few others. From a revenue standpoint, are we giving segmental breakup? Okay, we can't give you a segmental breakup, but how can I answer a scale question? We expect it to be a 1,000 crore business. Potential exists in that business over the next few years. And we already well about, 100 crores in that business.
Okay, I was trying to understand it from the capital allocation point of view, because we've in the past descaled multiple verticals. So what's the rationale for this foray? Because I assume the ability to penetrate the value chain would be one of the metrics. So where we are currently and how confident are we that we'll be able to scale this business profitably?
Our confidence in being able to scale is high for reasons I'd mentioned, and I won't rehash the whole thing, but just low market share, good market presence from a technology capability, customer point of view, and just add assets on that. So that's a model that we have seen for ourselves and globally seems to work out. So that is what it is. So our confidence is quite high, and all of our businesses are at a place right now where we are. There's no business which we are trying to grow which we are not able to grow. So that doesn't exist. It's really a question of us perhaps deciding whether we want to invest now, invest a little later in some other businesses. So once that plan is there, it's really a question of how much capex and how much are you deploying. So typically all of these businesses as a blend come to about a 5 to 6 asset multiple. So if you invest 100 crores, you tend to get 600 crores in terms of revenue. As a blend, of course, to all of these businesses. Some of them are low, like BIW is about 3 or 3.5, and some of them are a lot higher, like PEB tends to be about, 8, 7.5, 8. But as a blend, I think we will be able to hit those 6, 7 numbers from a CapEx point of view. And for our growth plans, which is double-digit scaling, we don't need to invest a lot. We don't need to raise massive amounts of debt. So our debt equity will probably come down over the next few years. And our overall, as you said, as Shrikant has mentioned, interest costs with percentage of it also remain stable. So we'll have a problem getting the capital we need for growth. We should be able to get that done through internal accruals and a little bit of working capital debt.
So just a small follow-up. So the rationale to get into BI, body and white, were there any synergies involved? Because I'm just trying to wrap my head around mid-tier, solar, and 3GP4A.
Your voice is not not audible properly.
The voice is very muffled. I don't know if it's on our side or your side, but she also is saying.
Okay, let me join back. Let me join back the queue.
Yeah. Now it's clear. Could you repeat the question, sir?
Yeah. So I was just. It was a small follow-up on the body in white business. Where I wanted to understand if we had any synergies to the legacy businesses we've had, because we've done solar and water EPC in the past, and we're trying to or we've gotten out of them. So I'm still trying to understand, because our prefab business is growing very handsomely, and otherwise we have a few cash generating verticals also. So just from an investor's point of view, like whether we are in the right business as a company, if we talk about body in white, if you can sort of talk about those things from a synergy point of view and our know-how point of view.
No, I can address that. So the choices we have made about what businesses to grow, the vast majority of them and almost all of them is really about metal processing technology. So Penner at its core has two strengths: engineering, which is includes design, detailing, product development, and metal processing technology, manufacturing technologies. These include roll forming, fab, precision fab, machining, robotic welding, robotic assembly. So when you put all of these metal processing technologies together, based on requirements in big sectors such as automotive and energy and equipment, process equipment, you tend to get these revenue streams, these markets that you can build up. So BIW sits quite squarely in that. The base technologies in BIW are things such as hot stamping, something that maybe only two or three companies in India have. We also have other laser welding, laser assembly, somewhat of automation technology. So putting all of those two things together means that we've done a lot of the hard work in BIW. Scaling it, we believe, will be very, very easy. I think there are BIW companies in India which are over 10,000 crores. So I think getting from where we are right now to 1,000 crores over the next 2-3 years should not be a challenge from a market perspective. And we're quickly picking up customers. Stellantis was our only customer. Now we have 4. And we are quite confident that with the change from internal combustion vehicles to electric vehicles, we are seeing a fair amount of interest. We picked up orders from TI for their Tivol project as well, for their electric vehicle project. So I believe our ability to scale this business is quite good. And most importantly, in reference to your question of whether it's a core capability, whether it ties in well, it ties in well with our other capabilities in metal processing and also in product development. PIW design is also a strong capability that we have, and we are currently executing body-in-white design projects also, not even necessarily manufacturing, but the product development for many companies. So yes, it's a core capability for Penner, and one I'm sure will be able to use to grow.
So thanks a lot for the elaborate answer, sir. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. Thanks, Keshu.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikram Suryavanshi from PhillipCapital Private India Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, just a quick question, sir. What would be our long-term debt now? I think total is around 1195 crore.
Yeah, 237 is our long-term loan.
237.
Yeah.
And inventory would be how much?
I'm sorry?
Inventory, because I think last few...
Yeah. Yeah, it's 890 crores.
And I missed the total working capital days.
79. It's a little 79. Higher than we had wanted, because we are ramping up for growth, so we had to acquire. But it's 79. Our expectation is to get to 72 quickly and 60 beyond that. Right now we are at 79 for the whole company.
Understood. Yeah. And this solar, sir, what I understood, because I clearly got your strategy to monetize the assets which are not focus area. But as a JV partner, and as you rightly said, it is a scale business. So if that JV has to scale up, then there will be also capital commitment proportionally required from us as a partner. Or is there any way where we may not be investing, or how that arrangement is there, or will that JetWork will act as a supplier to main other companies where it may not scale up beyond a point? So just I'm not able to get a clarity on terms of when it is a scale business, how capital commitment would be from our side going forward.
We only have 18 crores of capital commitment. We have no further capital commitments to the JV. That is all that has been decided. But even that commitment itself puts us at the JV itself should generate well over 1,000 crores of revenue from that capital. Because not just our network itself is also putting capital in, and there's existing, you know, capabilities that both companies have. So it will be high in terms of revenue. It may not be massive from a profit margin point of view, but it will be profitable. Going forward, I think depending on the choices they make, either the company will raise, or the JV itself will raise, or there may be other partners who are brought in. We are not afraid of dilution. I think what's important is that the vast majority of Pennard's fundraising, cash, equity, debt, profit, internal accruals go towards growing Pennard Industries verticals, the five verticals that I've said. So we don't anticipate that, we're quite certain, in fact, I can make a stronger statement, that the joint venture will not be a cash hog for Pennard. What we are putting in very limited amount of money, and even with that, we are realizing a lot from a value point of view. And the scale of it, Zetwork, and we will work with Zetwork to scale the company, but they're not massive capital contributions that either one of us is looking to make, quite frankly.
I think thanks for that clarification. And in PEB, last quarter we have seen a couple of execution delays from PEB business side. So how outlook is, are we seeing that picking up, or still there are some execution delays?
So on a similar sequential quarter basis, I think PEB current quarter, fourth quarter, PEB has been really well. The trend is expected to continue into Q1 of next year. I think, as I had mentioned on the previous question, this is on the back of primarily capacity utilization increasing, and capacity in our other plants also increasing. We've increased a little bit of capacity at our other two plants as well. So, yes, our order book is large right now. We need to do a better job converting it to revenue. Our customers also will not be happy if we just have a large order book and don't convert it to revenue. There's a lot of pressure on us to execute quickly, and we are hard at work to increase that. I have no doubt that you will see strong high growth in PEB quarter on quarter for the next two quarters, sequentially also. So we're in a good place. I think we just need to execute better.
Understood. And last question on engineering business. What was the revenue for 9 months? Particularly what we do outsourcing for USA in terms of design engineering.
What is our engineering service revenue for 9 months? We don't have that breakup right now, but I'll get that number to you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sunil from Tanish Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, am I audible?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Okay. Sir, just wanted to understand, by any chance they are planning to reduce debt over a period of 5 years down the line, maybe after reaching a certain point of, revenue and margin.
Was your question, are we looking to replace debt? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I'm asking, are we any, by any chance, we are planning to reduce debt levels over a period of 5 years down the line, considering the revenue growth and...
Yeah, as you discussed, the long-term debt for the company is 237. Our EBITDA is far higher than that. There's a lot of non-cash debt which is going to be there with us no matter what, as we grow. So to buy raw material, we have to give LC. So our business model calls for that being there. So as Shrikant had mentioned, the risk management of this is that we make sure that our total interest cost doesn't, and our total debt equity, right? Both of those stay in control. So as long as it's around 3.75%, we are not concerned, which is a necessary part of our business model, that we will have non-cash debt, that we will have those working capital instruments, BGs and others. So we'll have to use them, and that will increase, that will, that is something that we need to be okay with. It's backed by a substantial amount of current assets, so we don't see it as an issue. So that is on our working capital debt. Now, from a growth perspective, debt equity is something we have to watch for. I think 0.7 is what we would like to target. We are right now around there. It's maybe a little higher, but I think by the end of the year, in the next few quarters, it gets back to that. So the long-term steady state, expect 0.7 from us from a debt equity point of view. And that includes all of it, obviously, right? I mean, do bear in mind, a lot of this is non-cash short-term debt, which is necessary. So it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's an indication of our revenue growth.
Great. Yeah, yeah. Thank you. And we are entering into the new solar panel. By what period we'll do break even? I mean, number of years we can think of putting the capex in mind. And
we should have a very quick break even. We expect that, assuming that the JV does 1,000 crores, and these are forward looking statements, but I'm just broadly indicating you the capacity that we have and what we are able to see. So once that goes going, and that should happen in the next few months, 5% is the expected profit. So if you take our share of that, then from a minority interest point of view, we should break even very, very quickly.
Okay. Thank you so much. That's all from me.
Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, please limit a question to one question per participant. Do you have a follow-up question? We request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Monish, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Yeah, I have small questions, multiple questions. One is, are you looking at adding the plant capacity in PEB in Western India? And second, what is the status of the tube business?
Yes, we are looking to add capacity in Gujarat. That is a stated goal for pre-engineering. Pre-engineering and structural steel, yes, we are looking to add. That's question, answer number one. Your next thing was on our tubes business, sir?
Yes, sir.
Yes, it's stable. I think there's growth vectors that are possible. The large diameter project conclusion will bring about revenue growth.
About in this quarter? Means when we are expecting the ramping up the capacity in steel?
It will not be in this quarter. I think these are long gestation projects, so it will take us time to complete that project.
Okay. And so Gujarat plant, when we are expecting to commission or setting up the plant?
I believe our current plan calls for it to be that to be initiated in the next financial year, and it doesn't take long to complete.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Hari Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good morning, ma'am. Am I audible, sir?
Yes, sir.
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, make two questions, sir. One is regarding this hydraulic business we are putting up in the US. Is it a manufacturing or a trading firm? And what do you see the potential for that in the US? And the second question, sir, is the recent 10% tariff on China. Will it pose some opportunities for the tubes and hydraulic exports? And the third one, sir, regarding this network, what is it bringing to the table? Like, is it bringing a manufacturing plant or is it bringing capital? Like, can you throw some light on that, sir?
Okay, I'll try to go through them in just as quickly as possible. So what we're incorporating is an LLC in the US, just step down. It is from a revenue standpoint. All of our hydraulics business currently is US-based. So no change there in terms of just a structuring thing where you're putting it under an LLC for better revenue recognition, better audit purposes. It's a standard model when you have multiple revenue streams in the US, and we just implemented that. So there's no new company in the US. The second question, the tariffs, as I mentioned right now, we don't anticipate that affecting us from a revenue or a profit standpoint or an operating margin standpoint in any way. All of our supply chains are heavily localized. There is some India to US, there is some US to India, there is some China to India. And we will take that into our pricing and increase or adjust pricing as necessary and make sure that there's no revenue or margin impact. So, but we don't believe that to be able to. The network joint venture...
I want to ask if there is any positive surprises that would come, not any negative ones.
So, sorry, your voice is very muffled. I apologize. I clearly have a problem with our line, but...
for any positive surprises from these tariffs, not any negative ones, but are we expecting any positive surprise?
From the tariffs?
Yes, sir.
No, sir. No positive tariffs.
Okay.
No positive.
Okay.
Yeah. No negatives or positives is what I would say.
Okay. Thank you.
And your last question is network. Our module capacity of about 1.6 gigawatts comes online in a few months, driving our revenue up, and we hope to have a good quick break-even.
What are they bringing to the table, Zetwork?
Zetwork is bringing, both Zetwork and Pennard are combining our order books, our production capacities, scaling up those production capacities, and human capital in terms of teams, sales, engineering, and manufacturing.
Thank you very much.
The JV works as an autonomous body. It's a, as I want to be clear, it's a minority investment for Pennard. It's a majority Zetwork controlled entity, and they will consolidate all of their financials with Zetwork, with their main company.
Thank you, Mr. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aniket from ABN Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks again for taking my question. Just had a couple of sort of follow-up questions on the debt borrowing side. You know, as you, Adityaji, as you think about this business over the next 2-3 years, right, and obviously at sort of 3.75 to 4% of revenue as a substantial sort of cost item, do you feel there is an opportunity for us over time to be able to get better credit rating and then eventually sort of not need LCs or BGs and we can, you know, use commercial paper or working capital borrowing or something like that? Is that at all possible in an industry like this? And a bookkeeping question around that is, what is the sort of marginal cost of borrowing for you today?
Good question. We are right now at A as a credit rating and A1 for our working capital. We intend to ramp that up. We want to get to AA where commercial paper becomes possible. That's a stated goal. We are working with the credit rating agencies in terms of what they would like to see, and I think the path we outlined out gets us there. So that is our goal, to do that, and at that point of time refinance for lower, which has an impact of also reducing interest, increasing our profit, which further improves our credit rating. That is something that, just like our margins are improving, we've also been on a credit rating improvement. We used to be at BBB, and we've been able to get to A and A1, and we will look to continue to improve that. The usage of LCs and B, I think if it's properly used, I think the credit rating agencies aren't bothered too much by it. It's not the LCs that bother them. I think debt equities, gearing, leverage, those are the things that we need to work on. And we know where they want us to be, and our goals are to reach those. So we do want a rating. We can't commit to this, obviously, in a certain time frame. It's an assessment that they will have to make, but we know what we need to do to move, and we are hard at work to achieve that.
So, makes sense, sir. What's the current marginal cost of borrowing, if you can share?
9.8% as far as you're concerned.
Got it, sir. Congratulations again, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Keshav from Duxon Investors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir, in the PEPS business, can retention money percentage overall come down going forward as our scale and credibility grows further, or is it a given for the industry?
Retention should move down. Our goal, you're talking about our pre-engineering business, I assume?
Yes, yes, sir.
So our retention used to be 10%. We are not, unless it's a very, very good customer, like a really large customer, We are looking at 5%, but our end goal is to make that 0%. How successful we'll be, I don't know, but I can assure you our goal is to not let that number go above 5% again. So, but yeah, to some extent, it is the nature of the beast.
Okay, and sir, we've had provisions for bad debts to the tune of 10 to 20 crores every year. Would you be able to help with what the source of these debts would be, and if we'll be able to arrest this leakage also going forward?
We're talking about bad debt, like AR write-offs, yeah. So we have significant buffers in place for that. We review these at the audit committee level and at the board level, and our current provisioning, right, which has been removed from P&L itself on our AR is close to 90 crores, and that number will go up. You know, I mean, typically we follow the ECL method, expected credit loss method. So there's more than enough buffers within the company for any potential write-offs, and we don't expect anywhere near those write-offs. So there's enough ample security that's in the company to safeguard our current assets like our funds receivables. So we're not too worried about that at all.
Sure, sir. Thank you. That's all from me. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shrikar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible, sir?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Sir, it's regarding our capability in PEB, taking, larger projects, like, you know, which involve substantial design and, you know, engineering, like a semiconductor plant. Like, is our PEB division, capable enough to take such large orders, sir?
We are currently undertaking orders for semiconductor. We have for the Tatas, for Tata Electronics, we are building plants for them, which are in the semiconductor business.
Thank you, sir. The next one is regarding Ascent Building, sir.
So
we said that.
You to limit your question, please.
This is the second one.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is the second one. Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, please, sir. Yeah, we'll wrap up. My apologies. Go ahead.
It's regarding our Ascent Building, sir. So we said that we are going to double our, production capacity. Like 1 year back, we just said this. And now, though the revenue has, I mean, not the revenue, but the raw material cost has come down a little bit, not a little bit, but substantially. So we are hovering around that 160, 180 crore kind of revenue run rate on a quarterly run rate, sir. So are we eyeing for higher run rates going forward because of this increased capacity? Also, you have said that you are going to come up with a new greenfield capacity in the US.
Yeah. So let me explain this better. Good question, actually. So Ascent, as we have stated, is a major growth vertical for us, but the revenue has appeared stagnant. What has happened, in fact, is our capacity and our production have actually increased by a lot. In fact, our we've had double-digit growth in our production and capacity. However, the selling price has declined by a lot in the U.S. over the last 1 year. Now it's back on the way up. So you have a double impact now where our capacity is much higher and raw material price, selling price also increasing. So you will see growth quarter on quarter in our U.S. business as well. Right now we are projecting growth quarter on quarter.
And the other question is regarding the greenfield capacity, sir, which we are trying to add.
What capacity, sir?
The greenfield capacity in, U.S., sir, regarding the PEB sector. You just sent in the last call. A new plant in Ascent.
Yeah, we have planned to come up in the next year. As we have the clarity, we will be able to give you more details. But it would be the similar reach that we have added the capacity at Viberate.
Thank you so much for my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's a request to all the participants. Please limit a question to one question per participant. If you have a follow-up question, we request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Rahul Shah from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity again. So just one question. It's two parts there. Please address them both. Earlier in one of the questions and in the answer, you had mentioned that, you're looking at a double-digit scaling. So can we expect a 25 or 30% CAGR for the next 3 years? And in one of the calls earlier, you had mentioned PBT margin of 7% can be achieved soon. Can we expect them in FY26 or it will be later? Thank you. These are my questions.
We will not be able to give guidance on our exact PBT percentage as and also the CAGR growth rate. What we have gone on record and what we're going to keep is double digit. Now, double digit obviously is a very wide range, but yeah, I think you can refer to our past for what's going to happen in the future. We have aggressive growth plans, and we believe that our capital investments will allow us to grow and scale. So the exact percentage CAGR growth and profitability and the margin at which it grows, you will see margin expansion, you will see profit growth at double digits. So do give us that leeway to adhere to those things. But yeah, obviously we would want it to be as high a double digit rate as possible.
Okay, and it will be sequential also, right? Sequential growth will be there.
Yes, sequential growth.
Yeah.
Yes, 100%.
Okay, perfect. No problem. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prateek, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Hello.
Go ahead, please, Prateek.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I have a quick question. You mentioned that the execution part was a challenge. So can you throw some light where the challenge is? Because the order flow is not a challenge, so I would want to understand where, what challenges are you facing in terms of execution. Is it on the shop floor or is it on something else?
I'll try to be as transparent as I can on this. We underestimated the local issues we'd face. We have now solved for them. So we're in a bit much better place than we were a few months ago. But this was our first North Indian plant. It took us a little bit of time. That's let me put it that way. I mean, we'd like to be as transparent as possible, but I think that's those are the issues, and we have solved for them. The other issues are pretty simple. They are around manpower related, setting up SOPs for factors of production, and we tended to have those kind of issues. It just took us some time to than it's usually taken for us because we have 30 manufacturing plants, and it was tough to do it. But the hard work is behind us. The difficulties are behind us. We are in a great place right now to scale Raebareli. All the factors of production in place, it's been loaded with a good order book, and consequently, you will see very good revenue growth in PEV India in the next couple of quarters.
Okay, got it. And just a follow-up, does this process or does this learning path help you in your future plans as well? Your plans?
Sorry. Could you repeat the question, sir? It was muffled. We'll look at the audio, but if you could repeat it slowly.
Yeah. So the challenges that you face currently in the North Indian plant, would that be a template that you can use for your future new plants as well to overcome initial challenges?
Yes, 100%. I don't think Gujarat will have the same problem because we have operated a plant in Gujarat before, in Baroda. We had taken a lab plant on lease, so we did not have those issues. So we don't anticipate that this issue specifically that we face would come up, but it'll be, I there's learnings that we had, and I'm sure we will be better placed for our next plant in North India.
All right. Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Moksh from Aurum Capital. Please go ahead.
I just wanted a clarification. Are you investing 80 crores in the Gujarat module supplies?
Sorry, again, I request, could you repeat the question? We seem to have significant audio.
Are we investing 18 crores or 80 crores in the JV, the solar module?
18 crores. 18, and that's it.
That's it from.
Thank you. As that was the last question for the day, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you to everyone attending the call. We have taken note of all of the questions, and we will work to implement our plan and deliver growth and capital efficient profitability. Thank you so much for your support and your guidance.
Thank you. On behalf of PhillipCapital India Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.